business. Law. Well, we interrupt our regular program on legal issues, things like the national minimum wage and state capture, to bring you a story from, well, it's not really the far side of the law, but it's an equally important side nonetheless, especially if you enjoy a braai in the back garden over weekends or sitting on your side stoop enjoying some South African claret, pondering the Joburg jacarandas or that view of Lion's Head. What do you do when neighbouring building plans ruin your scenery? Now, it's a subject that Joe Whittle, director, and Rhys May, an associate designate in the dispute resolution practice at Cliffdecker Hofmeyr, examined in some detail following a recent constitutional court judgment, and it's a great pleasure to have them both in studio tonight. Evening, chaps, and not surprising that this case arose from a Cape-based dispute, what with all the scenery over there. Perhaps you can kick us off, Joe. What did the Constitutional Court have to consider in the case before it?
Well, thank you, Michael. The issue in question in the Constitutional Court decision really related to a narrow point of law and the question of whether the legitimate expectations test, which had been applied in an earlier case, was also of application in this particular case relating to various other factors.
Now, when we talk about getting approvals before building, let's maybe dial it back a little bit more than that, Rhys. What must a developer apply for from local authorities?
All right, so if you're a local developer, you'd ideally submit your building application to the local authority, and that would be considered by a building control officer. So they would have the initial responsibility of making a recommendation and assessing the sort of, well, the legal requirements and whether the disqualifying factors that Joe mentioned, whether they apply. Then they make a recommendation to a representative, a local authority, generally someone from the municipality, and then they give the final say on the matter.
And that obviously then applies to whether or not you want to add another story onto a residential dwelling, or if you're dealing with bigger buildings in commercial or industrial settings. If we look at the previous case, Joe, you mentioned the earlier case. What did that deal with, the 2010 case, when dealing with how one applies the legitimate expectations test?
Well, the case that you're referring to is the earlier Constitutional Court decision of Camps Bay, where the issue related to the whether the value of the neighbouring property had been diminished as a result of the application to approve building plans. And in that case, the court looked at the legitimate expectations test as whether, in fact, the value of the property would be so seriously impacted by the erection of the construction as to create the legitimate expectation of a hypothetical purchaser of the neighbouring property that the application would not be granted.
So in order to demonstrate this concept of legitimate expectations, certainly from a value perspective, just to make this tangible, Rhys, for listeners, if your property is one that has a unique feature, a beautiful view of Lion's Head, as I said earlier, someone goes and applies to obstruct that view, I suppose one can quite cogently make a case for that diminishing the value of that property based on that building. You're shaking your head, Joe. So what does one have to do in order to demonstrate?
What the court there in Camps Bay had to deal with were, if, for example, the neighbouring property that was the owner was now wanting to increase the height, which would obstruct the view of the affected person, that would naturally fall within, provided it fell within the parameters of the law, that would then not give rise to a diminution in value, because the risk that the property that was obstructing the sea view or wouldn't obstruct the sea view, the risk that would occur was something that had been discounted in the value of the property of the neighbor who may want to object.
So that was already factored into.
So that is the one aspect of evaluation. What Camps Bay had to deal with was where if there had been compliance with the requirements of the law, for example, the zoning requirements, whether the building that was going to be erected was so out of the ordinary that it would interfere with the legitimate expectation of the owner of the property.
Now, if I go out, so what's the upshot here for local authorities and developers and potential purchasers? Must I go and understand exactly what reasonable, legitimate expectations are for other developers in that area to factor that in before I make my purchase decision to protect myself from this eventuality?
Well, Michael, the decision of the Constitutional Court seemed to really balance up the rights of current property owners as opposed to those prospective owners and neighboring owners of land. So what ended up happening now is that there's objective criteria and there's two sort of legs to the test. So one, you must provide, make sure you comply with the actual requirements, so like your zoning schemes, etc. Legally compliant, if you can have a building that's 50 stories up, of course. But then, now regulators must expressly consider these three disqualifying factors and how objectively make a determination as to whether it should be rejected or not.
Right. Rhys May, Associate Designate in the Dispute Resolution Practice at CDH, and Joe Whittle, Director at the same firm, with some law from the far side on Classic Business tonight. We just have to take a quick break, and when we return, Katleho will have the day's news.